Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Azaleas are in bloom.
I was able to hit high bomb draws with my driver.
A-man corner is groomed and ready.
I was able to squeeze her hot cuts.
Hello, friends.
So what we dream about is to have mind and body come together.
This is a Masters Week edition of AJ and Dusty.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
Hour number two! AJ and Dusty in the afternoon. Thanks for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours. We have got a lot of COVID opt-outs in college football that have entered the NFL draft. And they are being questioned like no other draft prospects ever have, because there's this microscope that these guys are being put under, and a lot of guys with local ties, I mean, from Penei Sewell, Javon Holland, Thomas Graham, Brady Breeze. We had a lot of opt-outs at the University of Oregon, across the country, with guys like, you know, Jamar Chase from LSU, Rashawn Slater at Northwestern. High-level prospects are being asked the questions of, do you love football? Why in the world would you opt out of the great game of football? And SI has an article up that I think it's fascinating because of the way that NFL teams are trying to poke and prod and find out what led to a lot of these guys sitting out, because it's different for everybody. And the stories vary from safety and concern to, you know, kind of being strung along in the process of not knowing when your season or if your season was ever going to happen.
Yeah. And this story, when I read it this morning from SI, my first reaction was frustration, because I think it's abhorrent that any college player should face criticism for deciding to opt out of this past season. We saw dozens of programs have to change plans, cancel games, move things, pause because of COVID. We had hundreds of thousands of deaths in this country alone from COVID. So if a player who is not getting paid to play a game wants to opt out to A, protect himself and his family, so that B, he can go and play and be a professional football player and not have to risk some of these long-term health issues that we've seen with young people in COVID, that is enough. And I understand the NFL asking the question, but the tone of some of the questions were accusatory. Are you a team player? Like, they're questioning the character of these players because of what they decided to do. And I don't like that.
Yeah. I mean, they did try to tie it to work ethic and their quote football character. And a lot of these guys that were talked to, and among the guys that were talked to were Caleb Fairley from Virginia Tech, Ambry Thomas from Michigan, and then Gregory Rousseau from Miami. And it was fascinating to see. And then Coxie from the wide receiver out, DeMonte Coxie from Memphis, was also talked to in this. And it was fascinating to hear that in every interview that they've had, it's been the same thing, which is, it starts out with, oh, you know, how you've been training, all this stuff. And then they all go, so why did you sit out the year? And what was interesting to me was that there were NFL like evaluators that talked to SI, shockingly under the condition of anonymity. And they said that they wanted to find out if they had a legitimate reason. As you said, the character or the work ethic. And then they also wanted to find out how committed they were to the game of football to use as a tiebreaker if, like, they had a similar player graded out evenly, which I actually understand that. I get that aspect of it, where if you have a guy who played last year and a guy who didn't play last year, and if you have a tiebreaker finding out, you know, hey, what was it that made you sit out, right? Because you would go with the guy who probably you saw play more recently than the guy you didn't see playing over a year.
See, I disagree.
A year and a half.
I feel like the edge could almost be given to the person who did not play, because you could argue that they spent their time in the offseason. Every single one of the players who was interviewed for this article talked about things that they focused on in the time that they took away from playing the grueling schedule of a college football season to work on little technique things that make a massive difference when you go to the NFL level. So I would argue that if you have a tie between a player who didn't play mm-hmm. last year because of COVID and did play, you should take a harder look at the one who didn't play, because is their body fresher? Are they going to have more reps in them?
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying too, is you're taking that harder look. That's the reason why you're asking the questions. That's why I think the questions are fair in finding the reasoning behind it and what they were doing. Because if you just have a guy who is like, you know, I just felt I wanted to go to the NFL, you know, like, then you're going, all right, I don't really understand. But the interesting part is that the guys that they were talking to had, like, legitimate reasons why.
But I'm saying any reason's legitimate. COVID is legitimate, yeah. Period.
That in and of itself is
yes.
a legitimate reason.
And right. that's what bothers me is the tone of the questions. Some of them are leading you to believe that some GMs, some coaches, some scouts don't believe that COVID in and of itself is a legitimate reason. You think about what these players, best case scenario for these players, had they played this year, they completely avoid COVID and they up their draft stock.
And what you're talking about right here, I think, is pretty interesting. Caleb Fairley, who was the first player in college football to opt out. Mm-hmm. He's a Virginia Tech corner. His mom died of COVID. Or not COVID, sorry. His mom died of cancer. He was living with his dad. He didn't know a lot about COVID. And he said that when they showed back up in July to their training camp, that they were in, like, their indoor practice facility, 100 guys masked up or maskless, no social distancing, nothing. And he goes, I was a little skeptical because I've got one parent left. We didn't know a whole heck of a lot about the virus and how it would react. So I was taking my best interest of my family, where I've got one parent left mm-hmm. that lives with me, and I don't want to risk that. So he went and he said, I'm going to opt out. You know, look, I really want to play. He went through the conversation he had with Justin Fuentes, their head coach, and was like, this sucked. Like mm-hmm. it was a tough decision. And, you know, Fuentes at the end of it said, I understand. I'll always be a fan of you. Right. Then he had an interview with an NFL team where a head coach, where he said he won't name who the coach was, but they're drafting it within the top 20. He said the coach asked him, what if another pandemic comes up?
My eyes are rolling so hard right now.
And his answer was, do you hear what you're saying? I'm going to do what's best for me and my family. And this is what was best for me and my family.
And I
don't blame that kid one bit.
No. And it's not the initial question that bothers me. I get asking the question because it was a big part of their last year. And so you want to know, hey, why did you opt out? And if they say, my argument is COVID is legitimate, and questioning that it is not a legitimate reason to sit out. Because again, remember the timeline of what we're talking about. We know so much more about this virus at this moment in April of 2021 than we did in June, July, August, September of 2020. At that point, everything was still shut down. We were still concerned on every front. The NFL wasn't sure if they were going to play for part of that. They didn't have a great plan, at least until shortly before. Well, they didn't have a great plan, period. But they didn't come out with a plan until before training camp. And so everything's still virtual. And you're talking to a kid who is an unpaid entertainer.
Yep.
At that point. And he decides, hey, instead of going out and entertaining a bunch of people this year, I'm going to do what's best for me, what's best for my family, and protect my body, both from the virus and from the wear and tear of another NFL college football season, or from another college football season, not NFL, for the NFL. And to me, the part that makes it very obvious that the players made the right call, you don't read one pro day example where the evaluators were like, whoa, this kid who opted out really fell off. Oh, this kid who opted out, he's not as sharp as he was. No. Almost every single player that I could find a review of in pro day, from their pro day, impressed as much or more than people thought he was going to.
I'm just not sure what NFL teams are looking for, because I would think it would be a very reasonable thing for a student athlete to say, why would I play when my university is making millions of dollars off of me and I don't feel the protections are being made for me? Like a Caleb Fairley in the example mm-hmm. that he gave, where he shows up and he's like, look, it wasn't one. And then he ended up saying that 80% of his team ended up getting COVID. There was Coxie, the wide receiver out of Memphis, who was running back in Memphis, who's going to be playing wide receiver in the NFL, he said that they had 2 weeks shut down because of COVID. And he was like, look, I can't, like, I'm not going to stick around long enough until I see it and I get it myself.
Right.
Like I need to take care of myself and I need to take care of my family. Then you have guys like Ambry Thomas out of Michigan, who he's got colitis, mm-hmm. was hospitalized for 34 days in the offseason leading into 2019. And then he lost 35 pounds and was put on an immunosuppressive medication for his colitis and was still all Big Ten. And so he said, look, I'm not like I'm committed to football. Right. I want to play. But guess what? I'm a person that was high risk for mm-hmm. COVID-19. I'm not going to put myself through that. And guess what? Michigan missed 3 weeks of the season due to a COVID outbreak. And exactly. Kind of at every single turn, the guys that they were interviewing, it made sense for them.
Yes. And we don't know. There's always the what if. Like, if they had played, could they have avoided COVID? And instead of going late in the second round, could they have jumped up their draft stock to a first round? That's a consequence that they have, you know, they're going to have to live with that question going forever unanswered. But I think the question of why did you opt out is fair, simply because it was a big part of that. But I don't think the tone of does it mean you're not a team player? Should we question your work ethic? I don't think that's a valid line of questioning for the NFL to take.
Well, and it's actually something that was set up by a high profile football coach himself. And we got to talk about that. Plus, they're saying that they're going to use it as a tiebreaker. How does that affect Penei Sewell and Rashawn Slater, the top two offensive tackles in this year's draft? AJ and Dusty on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So SI has an article up talking about how the draft process in evaluating the opt-outs is an interesting one. They're trying to figure out why these guys missed their final year. And there is an accusatory tone. And there's text 503-250-1080. RJ says, you know, within reason, obviously, when you're getting ready to pay someone millions of dollars, any question is fair. I mean, as long as you're not doing the whole, you know, it was your mama hooker thing. Remember that one with, who was it? Des Bryant? Dez Bryant Miami asked that of Dez Bryant. Was your mom a hooker? And he was like, what?
Huh? I did not know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, that was a huge story. I think, was it Ireland? Gregor? Somebody got canned because of it down there.
Well, there have been other weird ones too.
There's always weird and super personal questions that those cross a line.
Yes.
These are wanting to find out why guys missed COVID, and everything from Gregory Rousseau from Miami, whose mom was an ER nurse working with COVID patients, who was like, it's not a smart idea to play. And he was like, all right, gonna listen to her.
Yep.
To Caleb Fairley, whose mom had died of cancer, was living with his dad, and he was like, risk way too much. To Ambry Thomas, who had colitis and was a high risk. Like, these are guys that definitely they had things that they were weighing. It is different with some of the Pac-12 guys.
It is. So I talked with a Pac-12 draft prospect, and he said the same thing. He's been asked in every single interview that he's had with NFL teams about why he decided to opt out. But he added that he's never had a bad experience with those NFL teams. Mm-hmm. They've always understood, to the point where he said, people understand the reason that we opted out because of the way the Pac-12 handled the football season.
Now, that is interesting. The start, stop, start, stop, start, stop, jerking them around.
Canceled, postponed. Yeah, what are we doing?
Yeah, and not the unknown of what was the Pac-12 season, where, like, they literally told those guys, go home, we're done, you're not playing. And so guys took it literally and were like, fine, okay, I'm done.
Brady Breeze told us he went home because they told him to, and then 4 weeks later, he gets a call from his coach, hey, get back on campus, we're ready to go. And he was like, what? How?
In this,
what
is,
happened in a month?
Yeah, and this is where it's going to get interesting, is because the Big Ten was, to a lesser extent, the kind of the same deal that the Pac-12 had. And now you have Penei Sewell, who is on a mission to, as he said, prove to everyone I'm OT1, offensive tackle number one in this draft class. He and Rashawn Slater of Northwestern are the top two unquestioned offensive tackles. Both of them opted out of the season. And neither one of them played, and now you're looking at, we were talking about the tiebreakers between the two, without having any film on either of those guys, now you're seeing a lot of draft boards have Rashawn Slater jumping Penei Sewell, when Penei Sewell is regarded as the best non-quarterback in the draft class heading into the 2020 football season.
And I'm surprised at that, because Penei Sewell is one of the ones who, at his pro day, I thought he cemented himself, that not only was he as good as the same guy who won the Outland Trophy and went, took his team to the Rose Bowl, blocked for Justin Herbert, who had a historic number of touchdown runs in that Rose Bowl game. Not only is he still that guy, he's gotten better. He had a broad jump of 9 feet, 1 inches. Somebody has a database of 20,000 players who've done the broad jump, broad jump. Only 22 players who weigh 330 pounds or more were able to jump 9 feet, 1 inches. 22 out of 20,000. Penei Sewell is one of them. Two notable ones who did that, Jason Peters and the Rams' Andrew Whitworth.
Wow.
Huh. I'm going to go out on a limb and say he didn't take a step back.
No, he's a freak.
And that's what I mean. These players didn't just sit around. They didn't just go, oh, I'm going to opt out and now I'm done. Caleb said, as soon as he drove away from that Virginia Tech campus, I realized I'd turn pro. My body is my business.
You know, I think one thing that is kind of interesting about how the NFL is approaching all of this, and it's kind of how they approach things with the whole concussion crisis, if you want to kind of call it that, is that they saw something that was an immediate threat that to most people was very apparent of the cost, right? Concussions was possibly your life or a lot of your normal day function. COVID is, well, it's your life. And as we're finding out now, there are post-COVID symptoms that it could be some of your function that you have later in life. The NFL is so good, though, at measuring kind of the wavelength of their fans and of their culture and saying, do they really care about this? Do the fans really care about this? Once the noise got loud enough with concussions and the fans did start caring about it, they go, okay, we need to put stuff in place. That's what they're doing with COVID. And they're recognizing really quick that the fans are kind of like, no, I don't really care about that. And so they're kind of putting it onto their players, saying like, look, the fans don't really care about it, and we played a whole season, so why didn't you?
Well, I think that you look at it as this boils down to dumb teams making dumb decisions, and that's what's going to happen. Guys are going to continue to make mistakes and fall down draft boards, you know, for things they do off the field or whatever. But teams also put guys down on draft boards for no reason. And this is some of them. Like if Penei Sewell drops three spots in the draft because, you know, whatever, the Bengals didn't like his answer as to why he sat out. And we don't know if this is true or not, but if it wasn't good enough and Rashawn Slater's was a better answer, dumb teams will do dumb things. And guess what? It will become steals for smart teams. Mm. The smart franchises, the good evaluators, are going to continue to be the ones that handle this situation and every other situation that comes along better than the dumb teams. And that has been true forever and will continue to be true. And I think that that is what we're really finding out here, is that, you know, the NFL and how they're handling, like, it's apples to oranges, man. I mean, you're sitting there and going, the NFL, which had daily testing, they had tracking devices on every player, they had league-wide protocols, it was the wild, wild. Heck, the NCAA didn't even track COVID numbers within the NCAA. They opted just not to do it. And that was mentioned in this article. It's like, you know, they said there was an outbreak where 8 of 10 Virginia Tech coaches and then a large swath of the football team got it, but they weren't able to find the numbers because the NCAA is like, yeah, no, we're not going to do that. Like that, that's the big difference there. And that is, I mean, that's not your fan, whether or not the fans care. It is, you had players that had legitimate causes that could just be like, no, I don't feel like I'm being taken care of properly, or I don't want to put the rest of my family at risk. And so they didn't.
And name me one time that we've talked about the NCAA doing a good job of having their student athletes' backs.
Of a team having their student athletes?
No, the NCAA having their student athletes' backs.
Oh, never.
So
free
so
merch
why?
At bowl games.
Yeah,
that's a sponsor. Fair. It's not the NCAA.
That's fair.
Oh, then nothing.
Like you have the school gets $17 million for playing in the Fiesta Bowl, but they got a cool PS5.
Hey,
dude,
which
don't
probably donated.
Don't crap on the PS5. I got a PS3 mm-hmm. or a 2, whichever mm-hmm. one was in my age bracket when I went to Vegas.
And I'm just saying.
It was pretty sweet.
It was pretty sweet. Now, would I have appreciated some of the
money?
$17 million
would have been great, though.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Especially when you divvy it up between, 60 players?
And you are right, AJ. You said to chair, like, giving it away to chair. I was about to say, the players, most of them immediately just sold it. Their PS3s. Yeah.
Because you probably already
which was probably an NCAA violation.
Yeah, but so they cool. don't. I mean,
I'm just saying, like, the NCAA, it's so different what the NFL. Yes, the NFL went on and they played and they realized the amount of money at stake and they did what was necessary because, oh, yeah, the NFL has a players union that they can all talk, an NFLPA, where they can all figure out
bargain.
What they're willing to do and what it's going to take. The NCAA doesn't have that for their players. These players have no say in anything ever. And you can't name me one time when the NCAA took up and was like, we was given a pat on the back for having their student athletes' backs.
You know, what's going to be fun is going to be when it actually benefits these guys that they fall.
Like Penei Sewell to the Chargers?
Sure. Yep. Yeah. Well, come on. Let's not act like the ownership group of the Chargers are going to work everything out and it's going to be hunky-dory.
No.
I just...
They'll find a way to screw it up.
Absolutely.
I think the unsung victim in that is Joe Burrow.
That
poor guy.
Well, but what if he gets...
I mean, if he gets Rashawn Slater, I mean, that's still a good one.
I'll tell you what. I think he's going to get picked up even before then. I know people follow these draft boards and these.
Well, then they're
going to
take
Penei
Sewell. They're going to take a tackle.
They have to take a tackle.
If they take a wide receiver, dude, then I'm with you, Joe. Joe Burrow is screwed.
Yeah, and I think they might. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, that team's
again,
dumb.
I will reiterate it. Dumb teams will do dumb things. They've always done it, and they will continue to do it. This is no different. No different whatsoever. It is fascinating, though, to hear the what NFL would deem, quote, legitimate reasons why they sat out. I put up the air quotes there because, like, having a compromised immune system, having one parent remaining alive, or having
not
a mom who's
to
in the
entertain
ER nurse.
People for millions of dollars that you're never going to see because
well,
there's a deadly pandemic.
So there's that. Yeah.
Reason enough.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, they say numbers never lie. We will prove they do after Will with SportsCenter. They say numbers never lie. We are here to prove to you that we don't know math, but numbers do lie.
Mostly
Will Darkins.
We don't know math.
Yeah. I mean, or numbers.
Numbers.
I'm not good at numbering.
Remember how I thought AP stats meant I would learn?
Now,
statistics.
That may be one of my favorite things, is that you were just thoroughly confused, like, this isn't statistics
I'm
at
not,
all.
I'm not learning how to figure out a defensive rating.
Yeah. Tell me about the Mendoza line.
I don't get it. Anyway, it's fine. I think I must have passed the class. I didn't have to take math in college.
Did you?
Well, I didn't have to take math in college.
I had to take the athlete math.
Will Darkins. What do you got, Will?
Pretty bad. All right. Damian Lillard had a rough night during the Blazers 133-116 loss to the Clippers Tuesday. He was 2 of 14 shooting, just 11 points. That ties the lowest amount of points scored in a game for him since 2015. Does that number lie?
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it lies?
Yes, it does lie. Because he was double digits.
Yeah,
I think
he had one single-digit game.
Yeah, not too long ago, I thought.
No, I think it was a few years ago.
Was it 2015, though?
No.
I'm going to go with lies.
I also go with lies.
That's correct!
Yeah!
The lowest scoring game he had since 2015 was, in fact, in 2015 against the Clippers. He scored 7 points.
Yeah.
And that was not a preseason game.
I guess that was a long time ago then, huh?
That was a really long time.
Yeah. He has scored, though, 8 and 9 and 10. But he's had 7. That was back then.
Oh, yeah. He had 9 this year.
Yeah.
The first game of the year, he had 9 points. I knew
against
it wasn't that long ago.
Jazz?
Yeah, it's a soft J. They've changed it to the Yaz.
I was trying to decide if I was going to say Suns or Jazz. I couldn't remember who they opened the season against.
It was the Yaz.
All right. Anyway.
DeMarcus Cousins.
No, don't look at me like that.
Made his debut for the Clippers last night after signing a 10-day contract on Monday. He scored 7 points, grabbed 4 rebounds, dished 2 assists. It was also his 56th game played since 2018. Does that number lie?
No, that number does not lie.
I agree with that.
Because I said it so confidently?
No, because I think I remember that.
Oh.
And you were confident, so yep.
Hey!
Hey, thanks for carrying the team there, Dusty.
Oh, I totally guessed. But I took your lead. You always say, if you say a name confidently and fast enough, then people will believe you. I just said, yes, I'm buying that.
There you go.
That is, in fact, true. DeMarcus Cousins has only played 56 games since 2018. He's been injured
and
a lot.
He was so damn good and wasted in Sacramento. Wasted in Sacramento. And everybody's like, oh, he's a real malcontent. He's a kind of a booger, you know?
He kind of was, though.
But I would be, too. You were in Sacramento where they just waste you. I'd be pissed.
All right, this story comes out of Seoul,
like,
South
honestly,
Korea.
Wouldn't you be upset if you were just like, I'm trying. I'm trying, Jennifer, and nobody is helping you out in your team?
Cross-referencing NBA references.
Bubble bingo.
Let's go to Seoul, South Korea. An art piece by an American graffiti artist showcased in a South Korean museum was damaged by a couple in their 20s. Who thought the set of paint and brushes laid out in front of the artwork was for spectators to use.
Oh, no.
They did not realize, in fact, that was part of the art.
Oh, no.
Okay, look, this is my problem with art.
No, that's so painful.
The piece was worth just under $1 million.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. I'm here to tell you, it was not worth a million. If two people walked in and were like... Yeah, this is for the public to use. I mean, that piece is not worth $1 million. What those people said was it was worth the price of admission for them. So did each of them pay $500,000 to paint that piece? Because they looked at it and said, we can make this better. And that is not $1 million worth of art.
Wow, are you gonna ride with Dusty's confidence on this one?
I believe it was worth under $1 million or whatever. I believe
just under $1 million.
Yeah, I believe you. I believe Dusty doesn't know art, and I'm not saying that I do, but I feel like I've walked into exhibits before and had similar reactions to like, I don't get this. But then you know you read it, you try to understand it. I don't have the appreciation that I should, but I do believe that. It was worth just under $1 million.
The paint and brushes in front of it. It's called incomplete. It's not for you to complete. It's for me.
Plot twist.
What the hell? Oh,
Dusty knows art.
What?
AJ.
What? No.
It was worth $400,000.
Oh, my.
Do you feel validated?
No.
I didn't think you would.
Well, actually, that ding, that little bell, yeah, it kind of made me feel about it. Yeah, it did.
Yeah,
it
but still, $400,000.
God.
All right, last one.
Los Angeles. Get into art.
Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department cited excessive speed as the cause for Tiger Woods' February car crash. That just came out today. Officials estimated he was going anywhere from 82 to 84 miles per hour before hitting a tree. So that is the official reason they are putting out. Here's a fun fact, and you tell me if this is right or not.
I don't know how fun a fact can be around this, but okay.
Well, it deviates from that.
Okay.
I did that story just to excuse. Woods has hit a hole-in-one 19 times in the course of his entire life. 19 times.
Life or pro career?
This is life. So it's mixed with what has been filmed and what he states.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to go no.
Well, it's a gentleman's game, so if you say you got a hole-in-one, you got a hole-in-one.
Well, that's fine.
It's a gentleman's game.
I can't decide if I believe that there are more or less, but I don't believe the number 19.
So, AJ, you do not. Dusty, yes?
Why do I think I've heard the number 23?
Too late.
Yeah, it is.
You're on record.
I'm going yes, it is true.
Dusty.
Ha!
AJ.
Dude, to make you feel validated.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
It was actually 20.
It's a good feeling, isn't it?
Oh, it was 20.
20.
20. His first.
You were still wrong with 23.
That number's oddly round.
It is oddly round.
I mean, like.
Are you sure this is a gentleman's game?
20.
His first came at the age of 6. 3 came in the PGA Tour competition at the 96 Greater Milwaukee Open, 97 Phoenix, 98 Spirit International, and 10 of them. We're in other tournaments.
Wow.
There you go.
Good right. for Tiger. Here's to the road apples? To recovery. Tiger, by the way, has released a statement. He is saying he's going to be using this time to focus on his recovery and his family. He's glad that the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department has completed and closed their investigation. So if you don't know what happened, Tiger was going like 80 miles an hour in a 45. He lost control of his vehicle and he hit a tree at 73 miles an hour. Was it? It's
3-4 around there. Yeah.
Yeah. That is fast. He's lucky to be alive.
Yes.
Tiger Woods is lucky to be alive right now. And that I do not care if Tiger Woods ever hits another hole in one. I'm glad Tiger's alive.
Yes.
All right. Coming up next. Hey, significant day in sports, which is better? Sandlot? Or Major League.
Oh, no.
AJ and Dusty on the Fan. Hey, on this date in our sports history, 1989, Major League came out. And then in 1993, Sandlot, two of the great baseball movies coming out on this date in history. Which one is better, The Sandlot or Major League?
I mean, I'm going with Sandlot.
Really?
Yep.
The Sandlot is a great movie. I do love The Sandlot, but Major League might be one of the best sports movies ever. It might be the best sports movie ever.
Wow.
Major League.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a hot take.
I don't really think so. It is a phenomenal movie. I love the movie Major League.
See, I think you'll get a lot of people who will argue with you even the opposite there and say, no, Sandlot, best sports movie of all time. Because I've always viewed the Sandlot and Major League like, if you're a baseball purist, you love Sandlot because that's what it's really about. If you just like funny sports movies, go Major League because it's really just about the laughs.
It is about the laughs. And it's a great storyline, too. A owner tries to make the team as bad as she possibly can, and the team sticks it to her by this ragtag group going out and winning every game just to spite her.
So you're telling me that
it's hilarious.
Major League is the Ted Lasso of 1989? Because you still haven't seen Ted Lasso.
No.
But
Ted Lasso would be the Major League of
Ted
today.
Ted Lasso is the Major League of today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I haven't seen it because you won't give me your Apple TV login. Yeah,
it's
so.
Definitely not because I've forgotten it. I mean, if it's like, yeah, I still think Sandlot. I just think it's a classic. I think that is one of the most quotable sports movies ever. Ever.
I don't know. Got a guy call me about a pair of white walls. That's the manager, Lou Brock, who's phenomenal.
You had to clarify. You're killing me, Smalls.
You're killing me. Yeah,
I
we know that.
I don't have to clarify.
We know that. Just a bit outside. That broadcast school's really paying off. Come on. Bob Uecker is phenomenal.
And you know, I think it's Sandlot.
And you know something? I think at the fan, too, we're kind of in an echo chamber with Major League because we've referenced it so many times. I mean, I know Major League's a really popular movie, but like we have used so many Major League lines for
imaging.
Yeah,
because it's a hilarious show, Will. It's a great movie. It is awesome. Sandlot, though, it has me a little bit. I've been, as you get older, I think you like Sandlot a lot more because it reminds you of going out and playing with your friends
nostalgia.
When you were a kid, too. And my son Bennett, didn't really like Benny being called Benny. Mm-hmm. And then he watched Benny the Jet Rodriguez like beat the beast. And he was like, he's more open to being called Benny the Jet now just because he saw him in his
See?
Tie
that
up the shoes.
Could have changed
run.
Your son's life.
Just wait till he sees Major League. There's going to be some things that'll change his life in that movie too.
Oh dear. Somebody, I like Sandlot.
Somebody on the text line saying Bull Durham that like,
Bull Durham is a phenomenal sports movie, too.
Supersedes all.
I don't know if I like Bull Durham is great, but it's still Major League. And this is why it's phenomenal. It's just like the GOAT conversation. It's your own personal GOAT. If you want, the fact that Major League and the Sandlot came out on April 7th proves the point that we started with the show. It's going to be kick ass if it's April 7th. Dad was born. Your mom was born.
Yep.
Major League and the Sandlot born today. Pretty good day so far in sports.
Great day.
Pretty good.
And life in general.
Oh, all the right moves. Tom Cruise. That's his favorite sports movie of all time. That coming in at 503-250-1080. All the Right Moves is a good one. 6'2 Stack Monster. 6'2 Stack Monster.
I literally don't know that movie.
What?
Yeah.
I also, I mean, if we're like expanding it outside of baseball, Little Giants.
Yeah. You know what I found out about Little Giants today?
No.
Little Giants is a good movie. Icebox and all that.
Yes.
The Annexation of Puerto Rico. Very good movie.
It's a great movie.
So wait, Little Giants is the football one, right? I just want to make sure we're all talking about the same Little Giants here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know the kid villain in Little Giants is the kid villain in Brink?
Nuh-uh.
Yes.
Whoa.
That blew my mind this morning because I saw somebody on Twitter compare the evil kid from Brink to Sam Darnold, and they did a picture by picture.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah. That the Jets have a type when it comes to quarterback, and it's like the classic 90s comic villain.
Yes, the classic
amazing.
Kids movie villain is basically every Jet quarterback. And picture by picture, I was like, okay, I can see that.
Yep.
Change the hair color, and I'm all in.
That's funny.
Mm. DL says there's a serious lack of flubber in the Sandlot.
Yeah, Flubber is a sports movie, technically.
No.
Yeah, Flubber plays sports a lot in it. In Flubber. It's true. You ever seen Flubber?
You just like saying that word over and over again. That's all that's happening over there in the dark lens corner.
Look, updated Flubber, sports movie. Mm. A lot of sports. Old Flubber, I'll give you that. just a weird movie.
RJ says Sandlot and Major League are loved equally. They're just too different. They hit differently depending on the moon and if kids are watching it with you.
The Longest Yard. It's another funny one.
The original.
Yeah, but we know, like, if I'm going to go best for me, my favorite sports movie of all time, you all know it. It's Remember the Titans.
Mm.
And I know that that's not going to get a lot of love. I don't care. That was one of the first sports movies that I saw myself in Cheryl.
And I actually had a lot more appreciation for Remember the Titans when I got older because I appreciated the historical context of it.
Yes.
Not just like the, oh, it's football and it's like racial inequality on both sides, but like how they incorporated a lot of like the Civil War speech mm-hmm. by the grave, like all that stuff. I was like, okay, I get it now. And I really like it.
I love Remember the Titans. So.
It's a good movie.
But Sandlot is another one of those childhood nostalgia. So if we're going with April 7th movies, I pick the Sandlot.
Mm.
You can have your Major League. I'll rewatch it though in honor of this conversation.
All right, you know what? I'll watch the Sandlot then.
Deal.
Handshake.
Socially distant handshake.
That's what I'm talking about. Coming up next hour, we've got Dame couldn't get it going last night, but he shouldn't have to tell his teammates that. But where we start, is baseball finally starting to figure out what attracts a younger audience? Mm-hmm. AJ and Dusty on the Fan in the Odyssey app.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.